previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
I went to school at everyone's favorite UCF. I ended up majoring in liberal studies because that was the only thing I could get courses in to graduate in enough time. So,
is that what you originally wanted to go for, though?
Oh, no. I wanted to go for film, but it's a notorious hard program to get into. And I couldn't pass the typing test. I can't type fast enough. And that's one of the prereqs. So.
Really? That's so interesting. I would never think about that, though. Like, to have to type so many words per minute to just even get in the program. That's kind of stupid, don't you think?
Yeah, it's Florida. What do you want?
Loyal Littles podcast
on the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Hey, Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
You know what my new favorite thing is, I think?
What?
Waking up to a Venmo notification for $5.11. That happened a couple days in a row. So we want to say a big thank you to Claire Natola, episode 1, and Brian Muller, episode 167, for using the code
LL Pod.
So they went over to Venmo, typed in LL Pod, and sent us a donation for $5.11, just like it was recommended.
Awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. That just, it makes me laugh so hard, and we really appreciate it. So yeah, if you want to do that, just head on over to our Venmo page, type in our code, and then you can just, any amount. You can make up an amount. It can be one penny. It can be whatever you want. $5.11. We'll take them all. We're not picky. We'll take whatever. So thank you very much again. That's hilarious. Roxy, so much to get into on this episode. Roxy's flying high, so to speak.
I sure am.
But let's tease that. Let's get into, we heard some reaction from our last episode with Jessica Gatch, which was so much fun. Todd Decay, episode 115, he just commented, Asheville, so much good beer around those parts. Love that. That's how he determines, I think, how the rating of the Littles is. If they live where there's good beer, then
right.
That says a lot. Now, I want to confess a little bit. I brought this up off air when we were doing our interview with her, because I think I opened, someone called me out on that once again, where we said something at the opening but never referred to it, where I said, love the town, hate the theater. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I've said this many times about our touring adventures, where it's not fair. We completely admit that. But if you get into a town, you roll into a town where the theater sucks or the hotel sucks, you know, that kind of stuff, you're just like, you hate the town. And it's so unfair, because especially Asheville is one of those where it's such a cute downtown. It's so thriving. It's just lots of independent stores, things like that. At least it was. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't been there in a while. But the theater was so bad. Anyone in the business, we just dreaded going. It's like Waco, Texas. That was another one. We just dreaded going to the town. So we'd come up with nicknames for these towns. And I have to say, I'm sure you can imagine, but Asheville was one of the ones that we came up for North Carolina. There's Butt, Montana. That's another one instead of Butte. You know, we have all these little nicknames. But so Jessica kind of change that for us, I would say. That was some good times. We heard from Don Hammock, episode 68. He says, hey, Jessica, shout out for Silver Sun pickups. Now, this is crazy, Roxy. We've gotten numerous comments on this. Literally this week, I went to listen to them and totally spaced on the name. Eventually popped back into my feeble brain, and I got to listen. Now, I love it. A couple of these people, and maybe on today's episode as well, they're bringing up these random band names, and more and more people know who they are, and so that's so great. I have to look them up, because I've never heard of Silver Sun pickups. But she was obviously completely correct. I did some homework on them, and it was a liquor store across the street from where they'd rehearse or record. It was just Silver Sun Liquors. And so that's how they came up with the name for the band. That's also fun, too, when we figure out, you know, how that happens. Now, Roxy, we didn't get into this right at the top. We should have. One day more, Roxy.
I am so excited.
One day more. I can't wait.
So excited.
So,
I cannot wait for you to be home.
I fly home tomorrow. Well, hopefully. Let's knock on hear that. That's me knocking on wood. Hopefully everything goes smoothly tomorrow. I have one show. We load out immediately after the show, and then we run to the airport to try to catch the flight. Should be fine. As long as everything with loadout goes well, it should be no problem. I should have time to catch the flight, but you just never know. And then I get in late tomorrow night, and I will be there with you for the next episode. Now, let's get into that real quick. We heard on yesterday's big episode that they are going to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. So, unfortunately, that put a little kink into some of our plans, only because next Tuesday, Roxy, is our 3-year anniversary.
It sure is.
3 years. Can you believe it?
That's insane to me.
Yeah. 3 years ago, this coming Tuesday, we started a little podcast called the Loyal Littles Podcast. And it just, to
our
look
lives
back,
have changed.
Yeah, it did. It did. The friendships and just everything. We've grown from it so much. And it's just been
Even us, our relationship has really taken off.
Oh, really?
Okay.
All right.
I think so.
I mean, I would have thought that happened before that.
Closer
but...
together.
Okay. Well, it is nice having a hobby and something we do together. That is true. So we're not quite sure yet. We might just do one big extravaganza episode next week, a Thanksgiving / anniversary party. We're not sure. It might be a Black Friday anniversary, happy Thanksgiving episode, but we'll get you an episode out. It's always one of our more fun episodes of the year, and we're looking very forward to that. All right, Roxy, let's get into what you've been doing the last day. Well, this happened yesterday, but you found out.
Yes.
Did you find out on Thursday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay, because it was after our last episode. I knew that. So we didn't even get to warn people about it. But I don't think it was televised. Maybe it was televised.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't at all? Because don't they usually do like a little clip on like the noon news and stuff like that?
I don't know, but it was more like social media and
right. Well, that's
like that.
What everything is these days, unfortunately. I bet you if there was no social media, they would have had TV crews there like they used to.
Right.
But anyway, this was exciting. Roxy, you just randomly, I was on my dinner break on Wednesday and you were like, do you have a second? And so I called you right away and I haven't seen, I'm going to say since our wedding day, I'm just going to throw that out there. Have I seen your face light up like this?
This was huge.
Yeah, well, I want to preempt it because I know how much this meant to you because for years you've been saying, you know, I get to do all these fun things. I get to do all these special events and all that stuff. And you've been waiting and it finally happened. Tell everyone what you got to do yesterday.
I got to light the Empire State Building red and green for opening night. And it was the most incredible opportunity just to be in a building. So, Littles, I have never, ever in my life been to the Empire State Building. And as soon as I found out that there was an event like this with my job, it's been the only thing I've ever wanted to do. And I have been holding out going to the Empire State Building specifically for the off chance that I might get chosen to do this event.
So this is like 8 years, 8, 9 years.
8 years, 9 years in the making. Absolutely. Yeah. And come to find out, two of my dear friends, they were on an event themselves last week, and they kind of put it in the ear of some people to put me on this. And sure enough, I did. I got to go to the Empire State Building in costume and just, you know, representing who we are and what we do and lighting the building red and green for opening. And it was the most amazing experience. I can't wait to go back and actually take a tour of the entire building. We got to see so much of it and go to the observation decks and things like that. But I mean, it was just...
Are you allowed to go into that? Like, you got to go up a little bit?
I don't know if I can, actually. Oh, okay. All right. Nobody really knows.
Really got to do some fun things, and sometimes you get to do special things. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And what's so crazy about this, this would be a good time to go into this, because you get messages all the time. The Today Show aired last week, and you're like, hey, are you on the Today Show? How these things work, a lot of them are just random. Right. And go into that a little bit, how it depends on schedules. And that's really all it is. Like the parade, people have been asking about the parade. And can you go into that? I forget how much you can talk about it.
Yeah, I could go into it a little bit. I mean, there are 84 of us, so there's a lot of us to choose from for all of these little events and even the big events as well.
Well, and there were four people for this, right? For the Empire State Building. Right. So that's what I mean. 84. Right. Four got to go. So.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that part of it can be very random, but everyone gets an opportunity to do something during all of this. So that's great. And then some of the major performances like the parade, it really does depend on schedule and who's available. And then from there, it's, you know, how many do they need? And again, there's 84. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, like what you were saying, how for the parade, I'm sure Littles can imagine this, that stuff just doesn't happen Littles. They do rehearsals, dress rehearsals, yes. and yes. sometimes a lot of it depends on the Macy's parade as far as when they schedule yeah. the street rehearsal. There's such a thing called right. a street rehearsal, which is great. Because yeah. like you said, sometimes you get there and all of a sudden you're dancing like on a hubcap and you're like, oh, crap. So at least you'll have a heads up about those kind of things.
Exactly.
So if you're performing a show at Radio City, well, the street rehearsal has to happen. Obviously, you can't be in two places at the same time. That immediately dictates who does the parade kind of thing.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. And Macy's has to schedule all the Broadway shows that perform and the various marching bands that come through and things like that. So it's a huge puzzle piece that everyone has to work together to put together. And then we get the results once that's done. So...
But yeah. I am so happy. I mean, this is like, I've lived through this for 8 or 9 years. Like every year, you're like, God, and it cracks me up.
That's all I can talk about.
Well, I got to be honest because I'm like, well, the one year you got the Today Show. And I was like, but aren't you happy about that? And you were like, of course I'm happy, but I really would have rather gotten the Empire State Building.
But yeah, I mean, for me, who I've been around for a little bit. I've done some of the bigger things. Honestly, to me, sometimes the smaller things are even more special, even more intimate. And that's, getting to have those opportunities too is amazing.
Well, like I said, every year is different and you get different things every year. You've done the parade twice now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think both times were before we started the podcast. The 1 year was when we started the podcast.
It was.
Oh, wow. That's right.
Right at the beginning, 3 years ago.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Like episode mm-hmm. 3, I think we reference it or something like that.
Yep. Yep.
So, wow, that's great. Well, congratulations, Roxy.
Thanks.
I'm proud of you. I bet the Littles are proud of you too. Big milestone marker for her. And
yeah.
Couldn't be
yeah.
more proud. Can't wait to come home and give you a hug and kiss. And
I know.
Congratulate you in person.
Yes.
All right, Roxy, let's get to our Meet the Littles guest, shall we? But before we do, as we said, this is our last show that we're going to be apart for now. Hopefully, knocking on wood again. There it is. And so, as people know, we're bringing the jingles back. We've said that. So we're going to go out of here. And we are going to go into one of my favorite jingles. Roxy has told the story a bazillion times how I used to go through this withdrawal when Tony would take the summer off. Well, this was one of my favorite, and obviously being a musical theater person, this is a parody of a song by Les Miserables, and it's Jerry Negrelli and Michelle Negrelli from Annandale, Virginia, and it's called One Show More, appropriately. So we're going to head you out on this, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with...
Meet the Littles!
One show more, 2 more hours with Mr. Tony. This could be his lasting legacy. The bosses need to save some cash. They said take off the summer satch. One show more.
I'm still on podcast delay. There are shows from May I haven't started.
One show more.
I think I'm good to Labor Day. The weasel schemes have all been thwarted.
One more show I'll suffer through.
Will he be back on air again?
And then 2 months of peace and quiet.
2 more months until we know.
What is my husband going to do?
Maybe he will find another show.
Maybe he'll pay attention to me.
One more day before we hear.
Do I switch to Morning Joe?
The power hour with Al Gore.
Should the Littles all go there? One more day till his vacation. On his way to Delaware, he will need heavy sedation so that bridge don't make
one
him scared.
Whatever will we do without all those IQs, emails, faxes, notes, and all the jingles too? What windows do we need? What car should we buy? How will we know these things without that bald orange guy?
How long have I been singing?
I'm really pressing my luck. I know what Nigel must be thinking. It's time to shut the f*** up.
I'm almost done, I promise you.
One show more.
I will miss Joe Farrell's emails. I will miss Josh Cromwell's notes. I will miss him, Tony, laughing when he reads them for
one
you.
Show more. Louisa's have a choice to share each show today. Let them hear your voice or the end of delay.
I still remember Gilbert.
Tomorrow he'll be far away. Tomorrow is his final day.
Tomorrow we'll find out what night he has in store.
One show more. One more show.
One show.
Here, you are listening to Chuck and Roxy on the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Being played in this episode by the artist who gave us fan favorite Lala, William Scott Emmerich, aka Silk. And this song is called You Make Me Go Ooh Ooh. Now, if you like what you hear, you can find all of his stuff on his YouTube channel, and you can just search William Scott Emmerich over there. We'll also post a link in the show notes. You can also get in touch with him via email, williamscottemmerich@yahoo.com. And as always, we will play the full song, You Make Me Go Ooh Ooh, at the end of the podcast. All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
Even with all this dead space, this is going to be an interesting one. Littles, we haven't done too many of these. We're all in different areas. We're all in different spots. Roxy's in New York. Chuck's in Michigan. And please welcome to the podcast, all the way from West Virginia, Nick Mariano. Hey, Nick, how's it going?
It's going good, guys. How are you?
We're hanging in there. The delay's killing us, but we'll fix that in post-show, hopefully.
Fix it in post.
Well, Nick, we know you're a loyal listener, so thank you for that. You know what we do here. We turn it right over to you. Introduce yourself to all the loyal littles out there.
My name is Nick Mariano. I currently live in Beckley, West Virginia, but I am from Baltimore, Maryland. I am what's considered to be a low voltage electrician, or if you want to get real technical with it, I'm a cable guy.
Ooh.
Excellent.
Yeah, please call me Larry. That joke never gets old.
Oh, I'm sure. So where did you go to school? All that stuff. Are you everything down in Baltimore?
Well, let's see here. I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. My grandfather died when I was 9 years old, so my mother decided to ship us off to Louisa, Virginia, which is exactly as big as it sounds. I spent a couple of years there, then I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia, which is where I went to high school, at Albemarle High School, class of 94, if I graduated, which I didn't. Then moved around a bunch. I've lived in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Virginia, and West Virginia, and of course, Maryland.
Wow. Sounds like sounds like he should go on tour, is what it sounds like.
Sounds like I've been on tour.
Yeah, right. That sounds like my schedule. All right. Well, how did you get into what you're doing, the cable?
Well, originally, when I got done with high school, I started out in the construction trades. I was doing a bunch of work with a bunch of different people. I actually tried to apprentice a bit to get my journeyman's license in carpentry and electrician, and none of that stuff seemed to really be panning out. A buddy of mine actually started a security and telecom company, which I think is now defunct, but I didn't really keep up with him, and that was about 25 years ago. Mm. So I started doing low-voltage electrical work sometime around 1998, and since then, I have done a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But I got on with a cable company in 2011, and that's what I've been doing since.
Mm. So many questions for you about said cable company, because ours is screwing us over, but that's a whole other podcast, I think. So.
That's what cable companies do. It's kind of in their job description.
Yeah, right. I just don't get it. I really don't. I mean, it's so funny. You talk to one, you know, representative and they can't do anything for you. And then you hang up and call and there's another one and all of a sudden they can give you this discount or whatever. It's just, that's what really grinds my gears about them. They're not all on the same page and it really pisses me off.
It's an excellent game of hot potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it really
is. Yeah, really.
Now, I'm going to jump right to here because this always... I always love talking to people that are from states that, well, you're not from there, but where you reside, that does not have any pro teams. It's got to be college this, college that for you, I'm assuming, but maybe not. Do you have a favorite pro sport, and what are your favorite teams and all that kind of stuff?
Well, like I said, I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and that's where the majority of my family still resides. So I am a hardcore Orioles fan. Okay. I am also a Baltimore Ravens fan. Funny story, my stepfather, who just recently passed, was part of the Colts Corral when the Colts were still in Baltimore, and then became a part of a Ravens roost until, I think, 2006.
Oh, wow.
So for the first 10 years that the Ravens were in Baltimore, he was part of a roost. And those are basically tailgating and support clubs. They do a lot for charity. As a matter of fact, the one that my stepfather was in was influential in doing a ton of stuff. They were all season ticket holders. So back when they had two preseason games at the stadium, they would donate it to Make-A-Wish or they would donate it to some kind of charitable organization. It was a really cool thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have to back up here, though. And first of all, say congratulations on your season with the Orioles.
Yeah.
It wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be, but okay.
But what the hell happened? Is it because we were rooting for them because we didn't have a team? So I'm like, oh, you know, we got to root for the Orioles.
It's youth and inexperience. I mean, at the end of the day, we can get real deep into the thick with it, because believe you me, I have. There's no one more angry at me at Mike Elias than myself. I thought he should have made a whole lot more moves towards the trade deadline to get some veteran leadership in the clubhouse, but
yeah.
I guess that's something that we'll do next year, because we were ahead of schedule this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I hate that phrase. I hate that phrase. We're ahead of schedule. No, you win when you can win.
Right.
And the idea is you put it together while you have it together, because there is no promised next season.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what would be, say, your primary sport is? Baseball? Or are you more of a football fan?
I mean, to be honest with you, you can ask my wife. It's hard for me to decide between the two.
Okay. I thought you were going to say it's hockey, but that's okay. All right. Great.
It's curling. I'm a big curling fan.
Hey, all right. Ooh. That's fair. That's okay.
See, I have, no, I'm just joking, of course, but I just wanted to prove that I've been listening to your podcast.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Got to try it. Got to try it sometime. I think it'll be fun. But now I'm a little worried after the last, I forget who wrote in, say like, oh, it's, you're going to feel it, you know, which makes sense, I guess. But
yeah.
I mean, it seems like the absolute perfect sport for the redneck athlete.
Yeah.
You know, the guys who climb up the side of houses and you know, work on telephone poles.
Yeah.
Because our legs are pretty stout as it is.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So now, being in West Virginia, though, are you a West Virginia fan at all?
Not really.
No. Okay.
Throughout some of my stints living in Virginia, I lived in Blacksburg, which is home to the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Yeah.
If I have a dying allegiance to college sports, the majority of it would be Virginia Tech football, mostly basketball when they're doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you, I apologize if you already said this, what brought you to West Virginia?
So, to be honest with you, the cost of living.
Yeah.
I was finding it difficult to pretty much make it on my own without having 4, 5, 12 roommates anywhere else I was living. I've lived in a lot of metropolitan areas. I've lived in Denver. I've lived in, of course, Baltimore. And I've lived in a lot of places, and I just find that it's extremely difficult to try to make it on your own.
Yeah.
And so the cost of living was really low here. And to be honest with you, I love doing stuff outside.
Yeah.
So this is really the place to do it. They say that Louisiana is the sportsman's vacation place. But to be honest with you, 7, 8 months out of the year, it's entirely too hot to do anything outside. So I don't see how that works.
Mm. No, that's true. That's a good point. It's a beautiful country out there. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you like hiking.
Yeah.
Hiking is unbelievable out here. There's 15, 20 trails within 5 miles of my house.
Interesting.
And if you're willing to drive, there's something called the Greenbrier River Trail, which is almost towards the edge of the bottom of Virginia and the bottom of West Virginia, basically where that point starts to form at the bottom of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's called Greenbrier County, and there's a place called the Greenbrier River Trail. It's like 26 miles, and it's actually kept up pretty well, I think mostly by the counties. But it's a nice little walking path. It's basically pretty level, but it's some of the most beautiful places you'll ever see. I mean, wow. The overlooks on the mountains are just outrageous.
Okay, I have to go.
How long have you been out there?
Let's see here. I moved here in 2011, so it's been 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So you've been out there for a while.
Well, I did what everybody does. I moved down here. I found a wonderful West Virginia girl, got myself settled down, married, and have a child.
Oh, okay.
Aww.
That's what everyone does there, right?
Yeah. You know, they say it's a story. It's told on two different occasions. It's either told as this is the best thing that ever happened to me, or my car just broke down and it kind of got stuck here.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. That's another good one. All right. Well, listen, we've got more to get into, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. Chuck here is having a good time. Is that how I'm supposed to say it?
Yeah, there you go.
Chuck had a good... I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Littles, we just had this conversation off air. We're talking to Nick Mariano here. You're a Paisan, mm-hmm. right?
I assume? Yeah, partially. Okay, I'm Greek and Italian. That's why the Nicholas and then the Mariano.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, all right. They're just bashing me off air here, talking about how I talk about myself. I don't know. I'm confused.
Bashing is harsh.
It really is. But we're having a good time. Clearly, this one is at night, Littles. We always have the giggly ones and the fun ones late at night. But we're having a good time. That's the important part. And Nick, we still have to figure out how you became a Little. So talk about that. How did you start listening to Tony and things like that?
Well, when I was a kid and we had moved from Baltimore to Virginia, my grandmother got the Washington Post all the time. And, of course, as a kid, the only thing that I read was either the sports sections or the funny. So I found out about Mr. Kornheiser by reading some of his articles that were in the sports section. So then when I was in my early 20s, I used to come home from work after I'd worked all day and just turn on the TV for background noise, and it was always on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found Pardon the Interruption. And it's pretty much been in my life every single day ever since they developed the recording VCR, and for you young people, that's what DVRs used to be before DVRs.
What about the Betamax? Hello. I had one of those.
Yeah, Betas never took off, and there's a reason for it.
What is the reason? What do you mean?
Beta was a terrible platform. VCR tapes were obviously the way to go.
Okay,
they were the
right.
next progression in evolution.
All right, we're going at it right now. All right, what do you mean? Because, no, seriously, I mean... I don't get that. Seriously, I don't get it. Beta tapes were smaller, so they're more compact, easier to store. So go ahead. Let's start there.
Well, being easier, more compact, and able to store has very little to do with the quality of the product
okay,
you're putting
out. It's the same. It was all the same stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think the machines were pretty much the same, I thought. At least they looked the same, except the smaller tape.
Sizes and everything there, Chuck.
Hey, easy killer. Okay. No, I'm just saying because I'm obviously getting defensive because my parents invested in a Beta movie rental, you know, establishment,
right.
which kind of went belly up. And it's funny, actually, because I was so bummed. I think if you're caught up, you know, my dad passed away just over a year ago. And so in his house, he still has a Beta machine and he had boxes of all these movies from like 84, mm-hmm. 85 in that area. And that's when they had the store. And my cousin just threw them all out. He's like, what the hell are these? No one's going to use these, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, we still have the Beta machine, though. But I get it. We had to, like, move on. But we still had all that stuff. He still has a working Beta machine. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to last forever. So there you go. That's what, 30, 40, 50 years ago? I mean, come on. The quality was there. I mean, they still, I don't know. Anyway, obviously, I'm a little partial.
Chuck,
I know.
Chuck. We all have our hits and misses. There's a friend of mine who spent $700 in 1991 on a Laserdisc machine.
Yeah. Those were.
I mean,
now see, to me, that's a bigger failure.
Where was
the
failure in that? A record-sized disc that you had to play videos on.
You know, it's a good point. Okay, but Roxy doesn't even know what we're talking about. But that's okay. My cousin had one of those, and I thought it was kind of a cool thing at first. But then I'm like, what? These are so big. But then, like you said, they store on the shelf like albums, so it kind of made sense at the time. But I don't know. It just wasn't. I never saw that taking off, to be honest.
I thought you were the smaller was better guy.
I was, but that's different. That's bigger, but it's flatter. So I don't know.
It's different. I got you. It doesn't make your argument, so therefore it's different. I got you, man.
Well, I mean, cool. I don't know. I'm just saying it's different. It's thinner. It's anyway. So it's just PTI. When did you start listening to the podcast?
Well, I was one of the first people who got satellite radio. And actually, when you're talking about picking the difference between the two, I was one of the first people to pay a $500 subscription for Sirius Satellite Radio. And one Sirius Satellite Radio, the big push was Howard Stern. I think this was 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
But the real push for me was that ESPN Radio had a channel. And that was when I first heard Tony Kornheiser had a show that played on ESPN Radio.
Yeah. Now, I remember that when Stern, because I remember when he went on Letterman with all that stuff, when he was saying he was leaving radio finally so he could say whatever the hell he wanted and blah, blah, this.
Right. Yeah, because he was so edited before.
Right, right.
I still to this day have never heard anyone in a casual conversation use the word terrestrial radio as much as he had.
Well, see, I never really listened to the radio show, so I don't know. I just, all I know is I think, I won't say, use the word genius, but I mean, he was the one that came up with the book cover idea to, you know, do the different book covers, but the same book. So people would like buy multiple copies. So they, you know, it's a collector's item, you know? And,
yeah, absolutely.
And then, I'm sorry, the Private Parts movie I thought was so good. And I even made Roxy watch it. I mean, I think she enjoyed
it. It's a genius work of art.
Yeah. No, it really was. I just really like the story, and I always love autobiographies anyway and stuff. But wow,
yeah,
this took a turn. So I mean, VHS Beta.
I'm a Renaissance man, Chuck. I can talk about pretty much anything, well, or should I say, Nick can talk about pretty much anything.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have to get to our fun dumb questions. So we hope that's okay. Too bad if it's not. Roxy, let's go.
All right. If you could be a cartoon character for a week, who would you want to be?
Well, I'd say my life would probably be pretty much the same as Garfield, where I just sit around all day and eat lasagna. But yeah, let's go with that. Garfield works for me.
Okay, so we
love it.
So you're not a Heathcliff fan?
No, Heathcliff was great, but he was kind of like the Betamax version of Garfield.
Wow, see, I knew we were going with that. I don't know, better theme song. Sorry, I think it was a better theme song. That's all I'm going to say.
Listen, there are a lot of things that were better about Heathcliff than there was Garfield. Like the scarf did everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Still going on the beta. I get it. All right. Speaking of that, what's the one movie you love so much that you know you'll be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
I'd say pretty much any Star Wars movie.
Okay. That's fair.
And I'm not the big snob where, you know,
so
I am
it's episode one?
The early 80s. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. When I was a kid, we saw like 3 Star Wars movies and thought that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be quite honest with you, the people that get off snobby about the prequels and the sequels, they don't appreciate the finer things in life. We only had 6 hours of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Now, my daughter, who's 5, has like 80-some hours of different Star Wars scenes and ideas and planets and all sorts of stuff that they've delved into. It's a great world. Let's enjoy it. Let's not fight with each other.
Right?
It's a good way to put it. All right, Roxy, what's next?
All right, what special hidden talent do you have that no one else knows about?
Not talking in the third person, apparently. That's a good one.
I guess I don't have a fear of height or confined spaces.
Oh, that's good.
That is good.
Now, don't get me wrong. I have been nervous under a few houses, and I have been nervous above a few places. But other than that, I can pretty much put anything aside to just do what I need to do and get out of there.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. That's
that
a good one.
That is a good talent.
Well, this kind of will maybe hinge on that. What reality show do you think you would be best on?
All right. Moment of truth right now. I hate reality shows.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair.
Like the idea that we pit each other against each other, it's like probably at the end of the show, you're going to ask me how people can get in contact with me. I'm not on any social media at all whatsoever.
Okay.
Because I think it just makes everybody so divisive.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I guess the only real reality show that I watch, Street Outlaws, the guys who drag race each other.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. There's a whole scene about it, and they have a whole bunch of different offshoots of it. But they're essentially a bunch of guys who get paid a whole lot of money to drag race each other. And in the beginning, it was called street racing. And I guess the only technicality that they have with it now is that they do race on streets. Mm-hmm. But it's not like shut down a road and only five people are watching. Like, there's obviously a bunch of cameras and stuff.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I'd say, I mean, that's really the only reality show that I watch. And okay. I can't even remember what the question was.
Well, which one would you be best on? Like, do you think you could compete on Survivor? Do you think you'd be good at The Amazing Race or Bachelorette? I mean, let's say, you know.
No. Bachelorette. Listen, Chief, I'm lucky to have the woman I have. I have absolutely no game at all whatsoever. I guess, I mean, as far as reality shows, you know, Survivor sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But then again, everything sounds like fun in theory.
Right. Mm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Let's just go with Survivor.
Okay.
Why not?
That's fair. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Roxy, one more.
If you could host any TV game show, which would it be?
Jeopardy, just so I can seem like I'm smart.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a hard one, though. You got to practice all those questions.
I seem like I'm smart.
Yeah.
See, Alex Trebek always seemed like he was really smart because he already had all the answers.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Right.
The best hustle in life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
All right, and let's end with this one. If you hosted Saturday Night Live, who would you want to introduce as your musical guest?
Live Alien Broadcast. Now, I know this is going to sound like a bizarre answer, but they were a
Baltimore-based band. They're my favorite band. What are you talking about?
You're kidding me.
No, yes, I am.
Okay. He has no idea.
Yeah, okay.
Chuck loves them, though.
There's like 8 people who knew about them and maybe 20 people who bought their CDs.
Okay. Where are they based? How do you know them?
Well, they were a Baltimore-based band.
Oh, okay.
They have since, of course, all broken up as well.
Mm.
They were first doing kind of DJ with hard rock thing. A little bit in the neighborhood of, like, Limp Bizkit-ish.
All right.
I really like obscure local stuff. So, like,
gotcha.
While everybody else is like, ooh, this, you know, and I have an appreciation for bands like Nirvana and stuff like that. I'm a very old man at this point. And my musical taste, I couldn't tell you what any kind of new song sounds like unless I've seen it on a TikTok video.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to host Saturday Night Live, maybe a reunion show, you know, for the band, get them back together.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they'd be willing to if they knew they were going to be on Saturday Night Live, but, you know. Right?
Probably. I'd say the exposure would be worth it.
I mean, I'm sorry. If we called up Hot Pink Hangover right now and said, hey, you want to be on Saturday Night Live? They'd be like, all right, maybe we should get together. I mean, if they got back together for Summer of Littles, they can get back together for Saturday Night Live, I would think. So,
I would think so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, Roxy, how about some rapid fire?
All right, smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Smooth. I don't need any extra chewing.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family?
Brady Bunch. I mean, I watched them both. I was, I guess, a fan of both, but neither one am like diehard whatever on.
All right.
Cups up or down in the cupboard?
Always down. Dirt gets in them the other way.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Come on. It's always Star Wars, isn't it? Yep.
That's what I figured. Single or double sink?
I mean, I have a double. I've always wanted a single. But yeah. Every house I've lived in had a double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roxy hates those.
Single is the way to go.
Absolutely. Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
Michael Wilbon.
Okay.
Ooh.
Really?
Ooh.
I mean, come on. Like, it's the lowest form of humor. I get it. It's occasional, and it makes me laugh. But
oh,
really,
okay.
You know, it's like, ha, yeah, got it. Uranus. All right.
Well, we've had many people say it's all about the delivery, and that's part of it. So, totally
yes.
get it.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, Nick, can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. Now, we already know you said no social media, but is there anything we can plug for you?
Not really. Just a fan. Wanted to check you guys out. Very honored to be on the show.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It was. He told us the story off air about how, now, did you not believe, or you said, what inside joke did you miss? Who the hell are Chuck and Roxy?
Yeah, I thought maybe I'd missed an episode or something. They started talking about it, and then it was becoming one of the things like the TK salute. At first, when I started listening to the podcast and the radio show, I must have missed that episode. So So I didn't get the joke for a little while.
Right. I got
and
you.
Then I just Googled Chuck and Roxy, and I was like, wait, it's a podcast. And then I listened to an episode, and I was like, they're talking about the Tony Kornheiser show.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I started listening.
They're like, what kind of dopes are them? Yeah, no, that's great. No, a lot of people thought it was like the DG thing. They're like, wait, DG's real? And we're like, yes, he is. Right. I forget what episode number, but we've had him on the podcast. So, and we've met him in person. We've had the honor, so. That was
great. Right.
Well, Nick, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate it. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
I don't care. Just replace it when it's empty.
All right. He's adaptable, Roxy. He's one of your people.
I love it.
All right. Thanks again, Nick. We really appreciate the time.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Josh Crumwell from Mozilla, Mississippi, and you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Friday 5. Now it's time for Friday 5. Tell you why. Because it's Friday and it's time to jive. And when a little tells us in advance, then we actually stand a chance. It's time for the Friday Five, Friday Five, oh, Friday, Friday Five, the Friday Five, Friday Five, oh, Friday, Friday Five, the Friday Five, Friday Five, oh, Friday, Friday Five, the Friday Five.
One day more. That's all I got for that. That's all I keep thinking about.
One day more, Chuck.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And thank you, Nick, for coming on to Meet the Littles, as always. Now, Roxy, real quick, before we get to the Friday Five, have you ever Googled us?
No, I haven't.
I hadn't either. And when he was telling us in the ear, he just Googled Chuck and Roxy. Now, I'm thinking, if you just Google Chuck and Roxy, what's that going to do? Nothing, right? Roxy,
right.
It's kind of exciting. You should Google Chuck and Roxy. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. The first picture that comes up is us with Nigel at Jingle Fest. There's lots of, I was shocked. I got to be honest. I was shocked. You can Google Chuck and Roxy. I mean, I think that's it. That's the list. I never thought something like that would happen. That's for sure.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right now.
Right? It has.
That is so cute.
It has Eric's cartoon of us that comes right up. There's so many cool little things that come up if you just Google Chuck and Roxy.
Oh, us at PTI.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was shocked when he said he Googled us and to find out, you know, what was going on with the big show. And he's like, oh, it's another podcast. I was like, what? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
pretty cool. All right. Let's get to the Friday Five, shall we, before our emails. We haven't done this in a while, so we wanted to get back to these. This is from Bill Pitcher, our organ player. Episode 58 on the Loyal Littles Podcast. If you want to go back and take a listen, and why wouldn't you want to? So much that Chuck and Bill had in common. That's all I'm going to say. It was so much fun talking about my old stomping ground in Columbia County and all that kind of stuff. So head back to episode 58, Bill Pitcher. Great time. It says it's the Sin City edition of the Friday Five. Yeah, I guess he's out in Vegas, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
He said, yes, sir, this conservative Baptist son of an SBC pastor, Mennonite church worship and youth group leader, is checking in from Las Vegas for work purposes only, of course. But while I'm here, number one, as a child or young adult, what was your finest moment of rebellion against your upbringing? Now, was I going to do this one?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if it's rebellion, but it's a funny story, and I think I might have told it. It's a little lengthy, but it's okay. We got a few minutes here. All right. So it was Halloween, and we were at that age where we weren't really allowed to go out by ourselves, me and my youngest sister, who's 2 years older than me, because all of my other sisters were out of the house by then. And as I've said many times, my parents were both cops, and our house was kind of like the home base. So Halloween, they would always do a double duty or something like that. But anyway, so they came back for their coffee break. And while they were in the house doing the coffee break, me and my sister, we went outside and TP'd all the cars in the driveway. Okay. Now, little did we know, this was really not smart of us, but this is what, understandably, now that I look back on it, freaked my father out. So what we did, though, to make it easier for us was, you know, of course, we had the capability to do this because the keys, we knew where the keys were, everything like that. So we like rolled down the windows so we could get in the car, and we would like open the car door and catch the toilet paper in the door to make it easier for us to roll around the car. We also, like I said, put the windows down. We rolled it through the car, okay, and up and around. I mean, we got it good. It was great. So we're back in. They're heading back out to go. And all of a sudden we hear this like, are you kidding? You know, So now that I think back about it, my dad was freaked out because we were in the car. Now, of course, he thinks this these are hoodlums. You know, they had no idea that this was us. And my favorite part of the story is so they clear the car out. They go. They took one car. There were two cars in the driveway. They only took one to go back out. So me and my sister, we're of course, you know, looking over with our heads out the window, you know, barely peeking up over the ledge of the window, watching them undo all the toilet paper, laughing, giggling. My mom even thought it was cute. My mom was in on it the whole time because she was at home base with us. She was, you know, watching us for the night. So we watched them undo the car. And then about 20 minutes later, we happened to look back outside the window and my dad's car, the chief of police car, was still out there. So we were like, Ma, can we please go out? Can we redo it again? Let's do it again. She's like, no, no, you've had your fun. That's enough, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So long story short, I'd say we go to bed, and then we hear my dad all of a sudden, like, yelling. Like, he's like, how could you not tell me, blah, blah, blah. One of the other policemen figured it out, okay? So long story short, my dad was sitting in the barn, freezing, waiting for the people, the hoodlums, to come back and TP the car again. And so he was out there for like 2 or 3 hours, you know, just waiting. No. And of course, we never came back out. Then he went back out, figured out one of the other cops. He heard us talking about it, apparently, before the night even began. I don't remember how he heard it. But anyway, so he knew it was us. That was our one good rebellion, wow. I guess, kind of thing.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow.
All right. Let's get to the second one, Roxy. Besides Celine Dion, who is a diva you'd want to see perform, but you'd never admit it?
I mean, I'm sorry. Besides Celine Dion, Celine Dion's it. That's it. That's the list. What are we even doing out here, man? And I have no shame in admitting that.
Now, you've never seen her, though, right?
I've not seen her, but I danced to many of her songs growing up as a little dancer.
Yeah.
So
should we give a little plug to the show that you and Sid love so much in New York off-Broadway right now?
Oh, my gosh. Titanic? Everyone should go see it. It's so good.
Titanic. It's downtown. It's near...
Union Square.
Union Square. Yeah. Sid's seen it like 2 or 3 times, I think. And
yeah,
it's basically about Titanic, but it's all Celine Dion music.
Yeah. Okay. It's so good.
Yeah. I don't really have one for that because I feel like I've seen... You know, the only big one that honestly... I'd consider him a diva is Bruce Springsteen. That's the one that's left for me.
Oh.
We've seen Billy. Mm-hmm. We've seen Elton. I saw Phil Collins. So yeah, I would say, yeah, it'd have to be Bruce Springsteen for me.
Okay.
All right, number three. At the sports book, card table, or in real life, what's your legendary bad beat? You're taking this one too, right?
Yes. So if I understand the question correctly, I'm going to say in college, the very first time I ever played beer pong, I did like surprisingly very, very well for a first timer.
Five Cup Roxy, I believe, is the nickname you got.
That's correct. And yeah, everyone was shocked that little Roxy over here, who's never played this game before in her life, did so well. So I would say that this was a bad beat for the other team, but actually my team ended up losing even though I did so well. So it was really a bad beat for us.
Yeah. So it was a bad beat for the team, essentially. But you got the cool nickname out of it, so that's good.
I did.
All right, number four. You're at one of those legendary 99-cent buffets, which now exist only in nostalgia, of course. What food are you filling your plate with? Now, we're not really buffet people. I've been trying over the years to not be. I used to love them as a kid and in my younger years. But now, because I have food issues, I can't control if I see it, I eat it kind of thing. So
yeah.
I try to stay away from them, but what's yours?
I mean, I don't know if it's considered 99 cent, but I would fill my plate with pasta, bread, and ice cream.
Yeah. Ice cream's got to be mine. Yeah. As a kid, I used to go back and back and back, and my parents would have to like yell at me all the time. They're like, no, 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 you can't do that every time. You know, my mom was big on take what you want, but eat what you take. That was her big saying.
Exactly.
You know, she's like, don't waste food, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the ice cream was what I looked forward to the most. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And last one, number five. Can you do any magic tricks? Bonus points if you find a version on YouTube and link it. I do many a magic tricks. I do card tricks. I have a couple that I've done to you. I mean, maybe I'll show a video of one later. I don't know. It's not going to be on YouTube.
The ash one gets me every time.
The ash one. You like the ash one.
Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah. All right. Maybe if I get a chance, probably not, but maybe there's someone at the theater I can do the trick to and post a video or something like that. But he posted a bonus question. It says Penn or Teller. Do you know what that means?
Yeah. I would say and.
And? All right. I think they're both, I don't know. I was going to say annoying, but I don't really remember them well enough. I didn't love them because the, it's like the one is silent, right? The one doesn't talk, I believe.
I think so.
I mean, I've never seen them in person. So I, you know, I've only seen them on TV and stuff. And I think the one is silent and the other one does all the stuff. But I could be wrong there. But so I'm not really either or. But that's the bonus question. Anyway, that's the Friday Five. Thank you, Bill Pitcher. Make sure you go back and listen to his episode. It's a good time. Like I said, episode 58, Bill Pitcher. All right, Roxy, let's get to the email, shall we?
Okay.
All right, real quick. I'm going to say this is anonymous. Now, this person wrote this in and said not for the mailbag, but I'm going to keep their name out of it so I can read it on the mail because I think it's important. And because I think there's some clarification here that other littles will benefit from it. It says, hi, Chuck and Roxy. I have been diligently listening to old podcasts, and I've noticed a couple that are missing, specifically 22 and 68. Am I doing something wrong, or are they really gone? Now, yes, there is a reason. They are there. You just have to find them, okay? What happens is occasionally what we've done is when we can't drop a new episode because we can't get the recording down or something like that, or just for whatever reason, sometimes we'll repeat episodes. Now, episode 22, you're not going to want to miss either one of these. Episode 22 is Shad from DC, okay? And then 68 is Don Hammock. And the reason those were rebooted is because there was something attached to those days. Now, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think Don Hammock's fell on Tony's birthday, like either the first or second year that we did the podcast. So like a year later, or maybe it was 2 years later, I don't even remember, when it fell on his birthday again, but we didn't have a normal episode, I reposted it because I thought that would be a fun time. And so we've done that a few times now. We just did it recently, I believe, with Brad Phillips. That's another one that's going to be out of order. So what happens is for me to repost them is I have to take them offline. And then when I take them offline and then put them back online, it then goes into the slot of the current episode. So 22 right now could be at 150-something. I don't know. But it is there. But the best thing to do, though, is just go to our website, Roxy.
LoyalLittlesPod.com.
That's the best place to go. And then you all the episodes are listed there. I think they're in order. They are in order there. And or you can just use our search feature and you can just search any episode you want. That's the best thing to do. But that's the reasoning behind it. I know a lot of the bigs that we've redone a couple times, like episode 100 for sure is not at 100. It's in the wrong order because we've redone those episodes. So
re-release.
Yeah, because then more people know that they're there because they get the pop-up. And usually what happens is if you haven't listened to it yet, it will come up in your feed as far as a new episode. If you have already listened to it, like back at number 22 when it first came out, it won't pop back up in your feed kind of thing. So that's the explanation. All right, Roxy, what do you got?
This is from Bill Skadere, episode 253. Chuck and Roxy, happy Thanksgiving. A short message to confirm that Sheetz can be found outside of Pennsylvania. We have 7 of them in Morgantown, West Virginia alone. It is almost impossible to enter the city without encountering one. One of the bridges over the Mon River, Monongahela? No idea. The Mon River has one on either end. Enjoy the time back at home together. Bill Skadere, number 253.
All right. Thank you, Bill. The funny part is, Roxy, I swear to you, I did not give that one to you because of the pronunciation
thing. I was
going
to say.
But I'm glad I did.
Fishy.
That's all I could say. I swear I had nothing to do with it. All right. Then we heard from Patrick Cashman, episode TBD. He just wrote in saying he wants to be interviewed. It says, love the podcast. I'm 54 and have been a loyal little ever since the WTEM days. Born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky. Went to school at UK to become a sports writer, much like TK. However, life has twists and turns, and I now own a professional staffing company. Anyway, not to brag, but I think I'm a pretty funny guy, and I might be an entertaining guest. No worries either way, but I thought I'd reach out. Well, of course, Patrick, we'll be in touch. That's all you have to do. You go to our website, loyalittlespod.com. There's a link that says, I want to be interviewed. And you just click there, fill it out, which you did, and we will be in touch. It'll be much easier now with Chuck being back in the city, and I can start getting these interviews back going. Yeah, for all of you who have reached out and want to be on the podcast, we will get to you, we promise. It's just, it's been kind of crazy with Chuck being on the road and stuff like that. So, all right, Roxy, what's next?
All right, we heard from Tony Beeson, episode 9. Dear Chuck and Roxy, you have mentioned the film Hudson Hawk on recent episodes, and while I remember the film from when it came out, I didn't hate it like so many people did. In fact, what stands out for me is the absolute delightful use of a show tune from the 1940s, Swinging on a Star. Check out this clip, Tony Beeson, episode 9.
Okay, now, I did check it out. Thank you for sending that in. Just real quick, Swinging on a Star was actually also a Broadway show. I believe it was in 1990. It didn't get nominated. That was a bad year. 1995, Sunset Boulevard won the Tony for Best Musical, and it was only up against Smokey Joe's Cafe. It was a big controversial year, actually, because that was the year of Victor Victoria with Julie Andrews, didn't even get nominated and all that kind of stuff. It was a big controversial year. But so we'll have to check. You'll have to check that out, too, Roxy. It is a fun clip he sent.
Yeah.
All right, next we heard from Kevin Maroney, episode 270. He says, hi, Chuck and Roxy. On episode 276, you guys went a bit in-depth with John Buchanan on the subject of game show hosts. I have a few contributions to the discussion based on personal experience. Way back in the day, the Maroneys were on Family Feud. Our host was the late, great Ray Combs, who was Richard Dawson's immediate successor. Ray was wonderful, warm, and funny. He is not one of the better-known hosts of the show, but is definitely our personal favorite. Now, let's pause there. I remember him, actually. It was short-lived, but I remember what a big deal it was when Richard Dawson left. It was almost, I won't go as big a deal as when Bob Barker left The Price is Right, but it was a big deal. And, oh my gosh, I don't know if you've seen those reruns, Roxy, but to think... all I can say is that would not be happening in 2023. That's all I can say. Richard Dawson would not be hosting. Well, he'd probably be hosting, but he would have to be way tamer. That's all I remember is everyone that he'd kiss everybody, like on the lips. He would kiss everybody. That's all I remembered about Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Number two, I was also on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Meredith Vieira was my host, and she was delightful. She definitely wanted the contestants to be successful. Several years after my appearance, I met someone who remembered the episodes. He said he thought Meredith was flirting with me, though I assured him that I was flirting with her. Okay, we're going to come back to that in a second. Number three, I brought the late, great Louis Armstrong to perform a night of stand-up comedy at my theater a few years ago. He was also warm and engaging, in addition to being hilarious. So, in my experience... these hosts are generally great people. Also, it seems that hosting Family Feud takes years off the host's life. He then writes, Stoopy accused me of burying the lead in by not covering the millionaire experience in LL Pod episode number 270, but the subject did not come up at the time. Wishing you two and all the listeners a great Thanksgiving. All best. Kevin, episode 270. Now, wait a minute. Was that on the form? I'd have to go back and look, but I don't think it was on the form, because if it was on the form, I would have brought it up.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have come up naturally.
Yeah, I would have. Here's the thing. You put things on the form. Chuck has this gift, I'll call it, of being able to bring things up and, you know, and just tying it into an episode somehow. And I don't think that was on the form. Otherwise, I think I would have remembered that, but I'm not sure. We'll have to go back and look. All right, a couple more. Chuck, good afternoon. Apologies for you being in fantastic Frederick County and me not making it over last weekend from the magical city of Jamesville. Schedules didn't align on my side. I did, though, want to share that I also have appreciation for Sheetz and with us sharing the whatever is on sale is best logic. You may enjoy this. On Veterans Day, the Saturday you packed up and moved on, Sheetz was offering a free half turkey sub and fountain drink to all military and veterans. Around lunchtime, I went to a location, crafted the sandwich on the touchscreen, and enjoyed it in the car. Not more than 1 mile down the road was another Sheetz. So with another flavory profile idea for the turkey sub, popped in to the second one and made another one, which was even more pleasing than the first. Two halves, make a hole, after all. Keep up the great work and finish up strong in Buffalo. Cheers, Matt Lowy, episode 272. Now, honestly, I thought he was going to say he drove away and ate the sandwich by forgetting to pay on the other screen, but luckily that didn't happen. All right, and last but not least, Chris Campbell, 259. Chuck and Roxy, I don't believe the Nerf auto-corrected to need. However, the R and F sit right next to the E and D in the keyboard. If that submission was made on a phone, it's even more likely that the submitter, can't remember who won, only that I didn't, just made a classic typo. That was Patrick Smith, Smitty Scoop, who won. I can't tell you how many typos I make on my tweets and even in emails to the Big Show where I cringe when Tony reads them on the air. Yeah, we feel his pain because that happens to us all the time. Sometimes I'll get these emails and I sit here and like go through them and being like, I try to correct them to what I think you meant to say because the typos are, it happens to me too. So I understand. And it's even funnier when I sit there and don't have time to do it before. And then we're trying to record an episode and I'm like, wait, what are they trying to say? So, and then, you know, usually I'm like, Roxy, you read this one. I can't read this one. So anyway.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all the email we have this week. Roxy, time to get out of here. Tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
You can go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
And don't forget, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, please, please, please give us a nice rate and review over there. It does matter. And as the great Adam Ferrara always says, you know, tell 562 of your friends and maybe they'll tell 562 of their friends and we'll be in good shape. And once again, thank you, Nick Mariano, for coming on to Meet the Littles. And thank you to the Negrellis for the great jingle. And as always, if you need a book,
go to aaronsbooks.com.
Don't forget, the holidays are coming.
They are.
And in the comment section, you're just going to type our code,
LLPOD,
and get your discount from your books. And if you need self-care,
go to www.modernselfcare.us.
And all the information is over there where you put our code and all that stuff. And of course, the most important part of all of that is, if you are out shopping online tonight,
don't forget to
use the code, people!
Bye!
Yeah, got it. Uranus.
Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah.